What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really pumped to talk to my next guest. Her name is Kira Butler. She works for Mother Jones Magazine. You can find her work at motherjones.com. She has been doing some incredible reporting on, at a very high level, what I'm going to call the Christian nationalist evangelical movement. But she's done some real digging and interviewing of folks involved in the movement. Her two most recent articles that really caught my eye, the first came out around the end, mid-September, was called "To Understand J.D. Vance, You Need to Meet the Theo Bros." And more recently, this article, "Christian Nationalists Dream of Taking Over America. This movement is actually doing it." Welcome, Kira. Thanks so much for making time. Let's just dig right in. Who are the Theo Bros and why does this matter?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Maggie. I'm so happy to be here. So the Theo Bros are a group of mostly millennial, and I say mostly because there's one notable exception, which we'll talk about. But they are mostly millennial pastors and Christian influencers who are, they call themselves Reformed. This is a kind of a Calvinist view of Christianity. And they hold some very extreme beliefs. And they take these beliefs to platforms like social media, like podcasts, like these conferences that they're constantly having that have these kind of provocative names. And they bring these ideas to a kind of a wider, younger audience using these means. And, you know, when we talk about extreme beliefs and the Theo Bros, I always try to point out that not all of them hold every one of these beliefs. But some of the most common ones that you hear these folks espousing include that the Constitution is dead and instead should be replaced by the Ten Commandments, that women shouldn't vote, that, you know, the 19th Amendment was a mistake. Many of them are fans of Francisco Franco. He was the Spanish dictator. Many of them believe that they call themselves Christian nationalists quite openly, and they believe that America should be ruled by what they call a Christian prince or magistrate. They believe, many of them believe that heretics should be executed. Many of them believe that gay people, LGBTQ people, are heretics and therefore should be punished by execution. They talk about prison reform, but by prison reform, they mean replacing prison sentences with public flogging. I think those are some of the greatest hits.
Yeah, one additional one that jumped out at me, which was so jaw-dropping from your article, is not just the embrace of Franco and dictatorship, the idea of a Christian prince, right, which implies yet no woman ever is going to lead this country because women shouldn't even be voting. The 19th Amendment, oh, that was a huge mistake. Was this from, and I believe this guy's name is Doug Wilson, who argued, and he's tried to move away from this a bit. This is, again, from my very special guest, Kira Butler's Theo Bros article in Mother Jones from mid-September. He argued this in his 1996 book, Southern Slavery, quote, that the master-slave dynamic was a, quote, relationship based on mutual affection and confidence, end quote, and basically argued that there has never been a multiracial society which has existed with such mutual intimacy and harmony in the history of the world as that of the antebellum South. Now, he's tried to distance himself a little bit from that, but that is what he wrote. It is in his book.
That's right. And that's actually, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, the one exception to the millennial rule of the Theo Bros, and that's Doug Wilson. He's in his 70s. He is in Moscow, Idaho, where he's kind of created his own little Christian fiefdom. He's the head pastor and founder of Christ Church, and he helped start a K-12 classical school there. He helped start a college, New St. Andrew's College, and he helped start a printing press there, Canon Press, that publishes many of his books and his homeschool curriculum and books by other like-minded people as well. And Doug Wilson has a history of saying some pretty extreme stuff and then, you know, kind of saying, well, that's not quite what I meant, that he kind of walks it back a little bit. He is a gifted communicator. His writing is very funny. And he makes these videos that, you know, are very slickly produced. He has, every November he does something called No Quarter November, where he says exactly what he means. And he makes these trailer videos that are just kind of over the top. He told me that his children, who are millennials and maybe some Gen Z kids as well, help him produce those.
It's, you know, the word sanewashing has become very en vogue. And what I think is really remarkable, whether we're talking about, again, the millennial Theo Bros or Mr. Wilson, who's been around for a long time at this, is that by a combination of rhetorical flourish and wit, they are able to sanewash insane, totally extreme ideas and sort of repackage them to sound plausible, maybe even desirable. But when you strip it back, it is just as offensive as saying slavery was good and it was a harmonious relationship is to anyone's normal and reasonable ear. Here's another claim that Doug Wilson has made. Again, part of these Theo Bros that my special guest, Kira Butler of Mother Jones, has written about most recently in one of her articles. You can find them at motherjones.com. Mr. Doug Wilson said that women might be culpable in rape and talked about how empathy is not really a good thing and extolled the virtues of, quote, something called the patriarchy, that which, according to our soi-disant and lisping political theories, must be smashed. I can't even, like, women's culpability in rape, that empathy's a bad thing? What's going on? Like, what? Why is this a thing? Why has Wilson sort of skyrocketed in popularity? Why is this sort of reaching its epoch right now? It seems to be an explosion in this sort of ideologies and their appeal.
Well, you know, I think one point that's important to make is that Doug Wilson is not doing this on his own. He has been platformed by people who have real political power. This summer in July, he appeared at the National Conservatism Conference in Washington, D.C., alongside J.D. Vance. This is the big time. This is not, you know, him in Moscow, Idaho, like, you know, on a podcast listened to by two people. The other thing about the Theo Bros is that they're close to people in Silicon Valley who have a lot of money and a lot of power because of how much money they have. There are photos of J.D. Vance appearing with some Theo Bros, and I'm not exactly sure what event that photo was taken at, but one possibility is something having to do with the Rockbridge Network, which is a project, a collective of wealthy Republican donors that J.D. Vance is involved in, and that Peter Thiel, the yes. Silicon Valley billionaire, is involved in, and that some Theo Bros are involved in as well. So, you know, it's not just that these folks are saying this stuff and that people are like, gosh, that sounds like a great idea. You know, women are culpable in rape. It's that they're being platformed.
Yeah. One of the things that I think a lot of recent reporting, and again, congratulations and thank you for the work that you've been doing, Kira, is that there is this way more overlapping set. It's not even a Venn diagram. It's just this overlapping sets of, I call them these different groups of bros, right? Like there's the Theo Bros, there's the tech bros, there's the billionaire bros, there's the cryptocurrency bros. I mean, it's like, What other, and then the dictatorship bros, the Curtis Yarvises, and they're all feeding, it's like this one ecosystem, and it's got a foothold for almost any disaffected man, right? There is a place, there is a foothold, there is someone spinning this extremism in a way that will appeal, and again, is designed to seem normal when it is absolutely insane and abnormal. Are you fine? I mean, you've been noting some of these connections, but it is really this overwhelming interwoven networks of all of these different bros. And folks, if you're listening, the theme here is bros, right? This is not a women-led or a women-inclusive sort of movement.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you should mention that because today, or maybe it was yesterday, but I saw it today. Doug Wilson actually on his blog wrote a response to my article. And he said, it's so anti-feminist of Mother Jones not to talk about all of the accomplishments of the women in this movement. And so he listed, you know, his wife, I guess, has written some homeschool curriculum. And I think his daughters have written some textbooks as well. And he, you know, he kind of criticized, I think, in a rhetorical flourish kind of way, said, yeah, you know, how dare Mother Jones be so anti-woman? But, you know, notably, his wife and his daughters are not the ones who are out there on podcasts and with their blogs and, you know, leading these conferences and talking at National Conservatism. It's the men.
It always is. And it's like, oh, well, what are the roles of those women that you're extolling as leaders in this weird, bizarre, Christian nationalist, ultra-dictatory, weird AI, whatever? Oh, yeah, you can write the textbook for homeschooling, right? You could, and the woman's sort of analogous movement of being a trad wife, meaning a traditional wife and like adopting this secondary role, acknowledging the superiority of men, both in work, but especially in the home as the final decision maker. That's what they're talking about. It's like, oh yeah, there's ladies leading from behind me and in their place in the kitchen and the schoolroom.
Well, and something that I think is worth pointing out is that these ideas may sound extreme in the way that, you know, a Doug Wilson or a Joel Webbin or a Brian Sauvay talk about them, but really they're not so far off from some of the policy ideas that J.D. Vance has advanced. And one example of that is this idea of household voting. Maybe some of your listeners remember that J.D. Vance was saying that he believed that parents should be able to vote basically for their children, that children should have a vote that is kind of mediated through their parents. And that basically is, that idea is household voting. And the Theo Bros, many of the Theo Bros also believe in this, but they believe that men as the head of households should be responsible for those votes. So that means the votes of their wives as well. So this is really a Theo Bro idea that J.D. Vance repackaged to sort of make his point about, you know, what he sees as the superior value of people with children to people without children in America.
Yeah, it's all part of a whole. And folks, if you think, oh, well, this stuff can't actually happen. No. The Ten Commandments are now posted in schoolrooms in some states, right? Textbooks have been entirely rewritten to remove the portions of American history that these Theo Bros and the Christian nationalists don't want to acknowledge or address. Kira, I could talk to you for hours about this. I would love it if you could come back. Thank you for your excellent reporting. She's Kira Butler, journalist with Mother Jones. You can find her work at motherjones.com. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, up next, just got word we've got a very special guest joining us. I've got Michael Hart, a FEMA spokesperson. We're going to talk about the federal government's response to both Hurricane Helene as well as our response to Milton. Join us again, Michael Hart, FEMA spokesman, up next here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.